The following is an Earmark production.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rum, singing, "This'll be the day that I die."
Hi, this is Bob Dearborn, and that's a song called American Pie, as performed by its composer, Don McLean. A hit record, yes, but much more. Apart from being a lively piece of music, it has a great deal to say. And therein lies the real source of our fascination with it. What does it mean? Seldom does a popular song stimulate so much interest and controversy by its lyric content. But it's happened with American Pie. Major publications such as Life and Time magazines have seen fit to print brief articles acknowledging the mystery of the song. Music trade publications, teachers, theologians, disc jockeys, even the man on the street have taken the time and interest to speculate on the song's true meaning. Don McLean himself offers little by way of explanation. However, he does concede that Buddy Holly, a recording star of the late 1950s, was the only singer he ever idolized. And the American Pie album is dedicated to Buddy Holly. This information is the starting point, the key to understanding the song. I'm priding myself as being somewhat of an amateur musicologist, which is about as impressive as being an armchair quarterback. I took up the task of compiling a detailed analysis of the lyrics to American Pie for my radio audience in Chicago. And your station has been kind enough to afford me this opportunity to share my findings with you. Now, what we're going to do in this special program is try to bring that analysis to life right before your very ears. If you agree with the theories, fine. If you have some ideas that you'd like to advance, by all means, do so. Meantime, we hope you'll enjoy the following presentation as we slice and serve up American Pie a la Dearborn. Songs of a musical era forgotten by many. Songs performed by three artists whose rise, then tragic fall, inspired a musical masterpiece 13 years later. In order to better understand American Pie, I think it's important to remember that we all go through a period of life, usually our teenage youth, that we will thereafter recall as being our good old days. Often as one grows older, he tries to recapture that wonderful time of life. A time he really understood and was so meaningful to him because of the various new and special experiences associated with it. Adolescence, with his first real awareness of the outside world, but without the burdens, pressures, and responsibilities of the adult working and raising a family life that follow, tends to provide most of us with our fondest memories. Each generation produces its own fads, its own language, its own art, its own culture, even its own society. Generally speaking, each generation holds high and even reverent regard for its many contributions and achievements. Unfortunately, it's the tendency of some to then close their minds, stop learning, stop growing. They spend their lives completely engulfed in the lifestyle of their generation, oblivious to all the good that came before and after. For many, music serves as an excellent reference point and reminder of the past, that best time of life. If you're now in your 40s, you might believe that music has been dreadful since the passing of Glenn Miller and Tommy Dorsey. If you happen to be in your early to mid-20s, you may think that the Beatles and or acid rock were the greatest things in sliced bread, and that almost everything that followed was a letdown. Indeed, 10 years from now, junior executives and young housewives may well be inclined to think back to how wonderful life was in the early 70s, and that music just hasn't been as good since the Osmond Brothers, Jackson 5, and Partridge Family were on the scene. I would suppose that Don McLean, author and singer of American Pie, is in his late 20s. His good old days were the latter 1950s. Profoundly moved by the music of that period, with its seemingly inherent fun and excitement, he aspired to be a singer and musician himself. In American Pie, he says he'd like to have the chance to make people dance and be happy for a while.
Long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And then good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of
who were turned off by their girlfriends screaming for Elvis Presley, Don McLean embraced an alternative musical idol named Buddy Holly. While there was no question as to Presley's reign as king of rock and roll at that time, Buddy Holly and his music did make important contributions to that era and influenced many up-and-coming artists ranging from Bobby V and Tommy Rowe to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. Holly was the lead singer of a group known as the Crickets, but also recorded as a solo performer. Some of his biggest hits were Peggy Sue, That'll Be the Day, Early in the Morning, Oh Boy, Every Day, and Maybe Baby. It's Don McLean's notion that music died on February 3rd, 1959. For it was on that day that Buddy Holly, along with singers Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper, was killed in a plane crash just outside Mason City, Iowa. McLean makes reference to this sad event near the beginning of American Pie. He says he read the tragic news while delivering newspapers, which is a key to his age, on a cold day in February. The widowed bride mentioned here is Maria Lena Holly. Employing song titles and lyrics of popular songs of the day, Book of Love, Lonely Teenager, White Sport Coat and a Pink Carnation, McLean conveys the idea that he was typical of his generation. Their idea of a wild high was drinking whiskey and rye and dancing real slow at the dance in the high school gymnasium. Miss American Pie is McLean's stereotype expression for the young ladies of his youth. They were girl next door, as American as apple pie types, who, like the music and fun of that era, seemed to have disappeared, according to the author. Upcoming in American Pie, there's a line which indicates that 10 years have passed since the music died. By this, I'm led to believe that although this song has become a hit recording just recently, it may actually have been written 2 to 3 years ago. If that's the case, then the song is really discussing the period between 1959 and 1969. Other references in the composition seem to bear that out as well. Talks about the king and queen. Logically, one would assume, and many have, that the king is Elvis Presley. The queen, well, that's another matter. There's only one female singer that I can recall from the late 50s who, because of her tremendous popularity and success, could have qualified for the title of pop music queen, and that's Connie Francis. American Pie then tells of the jester stealing the king's crown. Most people that I've talked to have concluded that the jester is Bob Dylan. When Presley's popularity began to fade in the early 1960s, the only man who emerged with anything close to a parallel influence on music was Bob Dylan. And Dylan did wear a black leather jacket on a couple of celebrated occasions, on the album cover of Highway 61, and on stage at the 1965 Newport Folk Festival. This would explain Don McLean's line about the jester wearing a coat he borrowed from James Dean. Dean, a youthful movie actor who lost his life in 1955, was synonymous with the black leather motorcycle jacket. The Public was the courtroom that adjourned without returning a verdict on that era's contemporary music leader and direction. McLean refers to Lennon reading a book on Marx. It was well publicized that Beatle John Lennon did read Karl Marx's theories on communism. At the same time, he and the other Beatles were practicing their music in the park while the rest of us sang dirges in the dark. The dark in this case is the musical dark age of the early 1960s, that period between the end of 50s-style rock and roll and the excitement of Beatlemania in 1964. A dirge is a funeral chant, a lament. Perhaps it's the author's contention that the music of the early 60s, because of its sad and lifeless qualities, represented our subconscious mourning of the death of 50s rock and roll. Refuse to yield. American Pie's story of musical evolution moves into the mid to late 60s. McLean calls attention to the popularity of drug songs like 8 Miles High by the Byrds. Meantime, the Jester was on the sidelines in a cast. Bob Dylan was hospitalized and in a cast at the time as a result of a near-fatal motorcycle accident. Noting the Beatles' continued musical dominance, McLean refers to the Sergeants playing a marching tune. The Beatles' classic Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album was very big then. And although other players tried to take the field, the marching band refused to yield. At this point, McLean also expresses one of his chief complaints about music since the death of Buddy Holly. The line goes something like, "We got up to dance, but never had the chance." McLean feels that there's no fun to music anymore because the kids can't even dance to it. Then there's a reference to Woodstock. "We were all gathered together in one place, a generation lost in space." After a quick succession of phrases about the devil, Satan, and Jack Flash sitting on a candlestick, we can easily guess that the author is talking about the Rolling Stones. Two of the Stones' biggest albums were titled Sympathy for the Devil and Their Satanic Majesty's Request. Jumpin' Jack Flash was one of their big hit singles. And perhaps I'm wrong, but during this section of the song, I get the overwhelming feeling that Don McLean sees Mick Jagger as sort of a devil figure that he dislikes. It could be that he resents Jagger's interpretation of Buddy Holly material, which he performed in his early days. Then there's the line, "No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell." You'll remember that the Hell's Angels were called in by the Rolling Stones to be the security force at their ill-fated free concert at Altamont, California a few years ago. Matter of fact, the Stones' movie, Gimme Shelter, revolves around that very concert.
"I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news. And she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before. But the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken. And the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing, bye. Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." They were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die."
McLean says that he met a girl who sang the blues. Could this have been Janis Joplin? It all fits, but nobody I've talked to seems very sure about this part, and the author doesn't dwell on the subject long enough for any solid conclusions to be drawn. There's another matter here that could use some clarification. During the 50s, it was possible to go into the local record shop and hear a recording that you might want to purchase. The practice has all but disappeared in recent years. Could it be that upon returning to the record store where he spent so much time during his youth, an older Don McLean discovered that the man said the music wouldn't play? It was no longer possible to listen to the records in the store? Probably. Toward the end of American Pie, there's a section of lyrics that's less obvious in its meaning than most of the rest of the song. Consequently, there are many different interpretations of it. McLean says the three people he admired most, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all caught the last train to the coast the day the music died. Many people have suggested that he's referring to Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper. I don't buy that. In a song where the major influences on music in the last decade and a half, Presley, Dylan, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, are being discussed, I can't believe that McLean could equate those talents with Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper. Another theory is that the author is talking about his faith in the Almighty being shattered by what happened to Buddy Holly in that musical age. Well, maybe so. I choose to think that in a song that has spent more than 8 minutes talking about musical evolution, McLean would not suddenly decide to switch subjects at the last moment. I have my own idea. Toward the beginning of American Pie, McLean asks, "Do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul?" I think that the music of McLean's youth is like a kind of religion to him. It represents a lifestyle which he understood, enjoyed, and admired most. He says it caught the last train to the coast. The west coast of the United States, California in particular, is well known for having been in the forefront during the emergence of the drug scene, so-called heavy music, and a brand of liberalized morality. And that's where McLean's religion, his music, went the day Buddy Holly died. Don McLean, as a musician, may understand and even partially accept what has happened to the music since the late 50s. But in this song, I believe that he, like most of the rest of us at one time or another, longs for the happiness and security of those sweet, simple days of his youth. Of course, the only person who can offer the true and accurate explanation of American Pie is Don McLean himself. Maybe someday soon we'll be able to get a clearer understanding of its meaning from him. Meantime, it makes for interesting speculation. If you have any ideas on the song that you'd like to pass along, don't hesitate to drop me a line. The address is Bob Dearborn, Box 4824, Chicago, Illinois, 60680. The address again, Bob Dearborn, Box 4824, Chicago, Illinois, 60680. And no matter how you slice it, American Pie is quite a song. Even if you don't agree that music died with Buddy Holly, you have to admire the clever way its author put his thoughts together musically. And moreover, it's a catchy little song that you can appreciate even if you don't understand or listen to the lyrics. In that respect, it's much like the music of the late 1950s. Again, if you have any theories of your own that you'd like to advance, the address, Bob Dearborn, Box 4824, Chicago, Illinois, 60680. This program was pre-recorded. Engineering, George F. Collins III. Musical production, Howie Beyer. Thanks to United Artists Records for production assistance. And a special thanks to Don McLean for making this whole thing possible in the first place. This is Bob Dearborn speaking.
They were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
The preceding was an Earmark production.